Hey, good to see you, sis. You're going to be blessed tonight. Amen. Say this with me. I'm going to be encouraged tonight. Amen. You know, if you come expecting, you will receive something from the Lord. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about or shout at you or whatever God leads me to do. I feel like talking. Is that all right? If I feel like shouting, is that all right? I want to talk to you about living by faith tonight. In this message, I'm going to talk to you about the importance of applying your faith in your everyday circumstances. Faith is the essence of our Christian walk. And unless we learn how to apply it, it does us no good. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he's talking about God. So if we're going to please God, the first thing we need to understand is that God wants to see faith exhibited on our behalf. And that pleases him. So God is a God that wants to see faith on our behalf. Now listen what else it says. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. How many believes God is? And how many believes the rest of this verse? It says, he is and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you seek God, you're applying faith. And when you apply your faith or you use your faith, if you will, then you're going to get rewarded according to that scripture. God is pleased when we use the faith that he has given us. Don't tell me tonight that God has not given you the faith, because the Bible says that God has dealt to every man. Sorry, women. I was kidding. Please don't get it. When it says man, it means mankind or humanity. God has dealt to every man and woman the measure of faith. We all have the same amount of faith to start with. God has given us the ability to please him. Otherwise, God would be an unjust God. But God has given us what we need to please him. And he's given us a measure of faith. Now listen to the Romans 1:17, for it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let me explain that. What that means is this. Are you justified tonight? All of you look at him like, I'm not sure, Pastor. Are you born again tonight? Then you're just. That means you've been justified by the Lord. That means you're just as if you had never sinned. That means you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He has made you righteous. You don't do it yourself. God puts a seal of righteousness, a robe of righteousness upon each and every one. Now, it says the just, that means the ones that God has approved of, those that God has said that he's given them a new spirit, those that have been born again, those are the just. The just shall live by faith. What does that mean in layman terms? Because that sounds like a big deal that goes right over our head. The just shall live by faith. On a day-to-day basis, we have to learn to live by faith. That's what it means. It means learn what God's word says, learn what faith is, and then put it into practice every single day. And when we do that, you cannot help but please God. Now listen, when we don't do that, we're not pleasing unto God. So we need to understand, and not only that, God gives us faith so that, and I'm going to explain it to you in just a minute, so that our life can change. So that we can change circumstances in our lives. How many would like to see their life be different than it is? How many would like to see a change? God has given you the ability to change. Not only has God given you the ability to change, God has given you the ability to change circumstances, situations, and even your future, if you will. That's right. God wants you to apply your faith. He wants you to live by faith. He wants you to walk by faith. How many members of Scripture says we walk by faith? So in order for us to grow from faith to faith, we must exercise our faith on a daily basis. Moment by moment basis, if you will. How many believes that Jesus lived by faith? And the Bible says we are to be imitators of Christ. So God wants us to live by faith day by day, moment by moment. We need to look at the many things that we're involved in every day and the problems that come up against us and not look at them as, oh, God, another problem. If it was another problem, I think, God, can we just put it off till tomorrow? We don't need to take that approach to life. The approach that God is wanting you to take is, this is another opportunity to exercise and grow and extend or stretch my faith. Understand this. God is in the business of stretching us. How many's ever heard that if you don't push yourself, you'll never go to the next level? All of us get comfortable in levels. And then God challenges us to stretch ourselves. Now, you may have circumstances that are against you tonight in various ways. You may be in a financial pickle right now at this time in your life. You may be up against the wall in your family relationships. It may be your health. It may be anything. But if you will learn how to use your faith, you can be what Revelation says, an overcomer. The Bible says, I think it's in 1 John 4:4, says, this is the victory, even our faith. You're going to have to learn that everything, every challenge, every obstacle is an opportunity to apply the faith that God has given you to overcome. But if you don't do that, guess what? You'll just be in the mully grubs. Now listen to 3 John 1:2. It says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Say that with me, in all things. Here's where we miss it. We think God is only interested in us being holy. He is. But God is also interested in the rest of our lives. He says in all things. He's interested in your relationships. Somebody say amen. He's interested in your bank account. Somebody says, I hope he is because my creditors are too. But he's interested in every aspect of your life. There's no part of our life that God is not interested in. And he says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper. Now listen, when God says this, this is the Holy Ghost inspired to John to say this to the church. Beloved, I wish, and I like that. He didn't go say, you no good for nothing. No, he said, Beloved. That means God's in love with us. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Now listen, here's the part that you got to get. Because the other part don't happen if you don't get this. Even, that means equal to. How many knows what even means? If I say, these two are even, that means they're equal to each other. Right? Even as your soul prospers. No soul prosperity, you don't get the prosperity in all things and even in your health. Come on. Now I'm going to say something that's going to disturb some of you. But I want you to get this because if you don't get this, listen. This is God's desire. But you must have soul prosperity. And all soul prosperity is understanding what God's will is. You will never have faith beyond what the known will of God is. Never. Listen to what he says. I wish that you prosper in all things. Does that mean in my job? Does that mean in my relationships? Does that mean in my finances? Does it mean also in my health? Now listen, this is where I'm going to shock some of you. If you are having lack in all of those areas, it tells you something. I knew I'd start to lose some of you right here. If you're not prospering in all things, and even in your health. Now listen, this is not condemning. This is bringing us up to a level. If we don't recognize the deficiencies in our lives, how are we ever going to get soul prosperity to overcome those deficiencies? Am I right? You first of all got to recognize that if there's areas of your life that you're lacking in, you need soul prosperity. And then when you get soul prosperity, all the rest of it, it says, begins to prosper. If I'm struggling physically in my health, I need to get soul prosperity. If I'm struggling financially, I need to get soul prosperity. Because somewhere along the way, I have made some choices. I have done some things that are contrary to what the will of God is. And it has caused me to be in a position of not prospering in all things. Is that right? So first of all, we got to understand. And this is where, once we understand that, this is where we can get right. And we can repent. And all repentance means is have a change of mind. We can repent and say, God, yeah, I thought I knew everything. But I'm starting to see I don't know as much as I thought I knew. And your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And then he goes on to say, let the unrighteous man or the man who's not thinking right to repent and return unto the Lord. So if we're lacking in those areas, in any area of our lives. Now listen, at any point in time in our lives, all of us are lacking. None of us have arrived. I have not arrived. Do I ever struggle with my health? Once in a while. But praise God, we got a believer tonight. But I'm telling you that if we're lacking, it's because we have not come to the knowledge of the saving knowledge of God's word. And listen to me, it says if we're going to prosper in all things and we're going to be in health, it says equal to your soul prosperity. I want you to understand, this is God's desire, and you must have soul prosperity. What does that mean, preacher? It means your understanding has to be enlightened so that you can believe the right thing and then consequently act a certain way in accordance with that. Now, let me give you the amplified version of what Hebrews 11 says about faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. Now listen, if we're lacking in an area, then we have hopes for something better, don't we? Is that right? Or let me put it this way. If you're lacking in an area, you need to have hope for something better. If you never have hope for something better, things will never change. If you don't see yourself different next year from where you are this year, you will be in the same position you was in next year that you are this year. This will change you, I'm telling you. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. You know what a title deed is? That means it's yours. Your faith is the title deed of what? Of the things we hope for. So whatever you have in your life right now is what you've been hoping for, whether you realize it or not. I talked to a family before church. They're hoping for a new home. Your faith will get you into that new home. But you have to have a goal for your faith. Now, faith is assurance and the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for, being the proof of the things, listen to this, we do not see. Isn't it confusing? What is he saying in layman terms? He's saying this. If you're lacking in your physical body and you need health, faith is the assurance and it's the title deed of the things that you currently don't have. You don't have manifest in your life right now. Are you with me? Or finances or relationships or whatever you're using your faith for. It says, it is the proof of the things we do not see and is the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith reaches out into eternity, into God's realm, and it pulls out what you don't have and what you're desiring, what you're hoping for. It won't come any other way. I see people that stay miserable most of their Christian walk, and they don't have to. All they need to do is reach out into what God's saying is mine. And he says, it's yours. Suppose he told the prodigal son's brother, he said, all that I have is yours. God's not withholding. All he's saying is, I give you the faith. All you need to do is reach up and get it. We have to get it his way, though. And it comes through soul prosperity, an understanding of what God's saying is ours. Now look, he says something here. He says, it is the conviction of the reality. You do not have to settle for life as it is. You can change it if you want it to change. Let me tell you what. Faith involves assurance and convictions. How many knows what conviction is? I'm not talking about when you got carried before the judge and he convicted you. That's not the kind of conviction I'm talking about. Somebody said, oh, I remember that. No, I'm talking about, you ever come across somebody that really believes something and you couldn't talk them out of it? That's what conviction is. It is a knowing deep down in your inside that says, I believe this. There are some people that believe, let me give you an example of what conviction is in the church. Some people believe that it's not right for a woman to wear pants to church. For that woman, it's not. Because they have a strong conviction that says it's unrighteous to do it. Now, they will not do it under any circumstances. They are founded on that truth and you can't talk them out of it. Are you with me? Right or wrong? I'm not talking about right or wrong here. I believe it's okay for women to wear pants, by the way. Long as they're not mine. But what I'm saying is this, is that conviction is something that is embedded in your heart and it's something that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt and you're not going to move off of it. And that's what faith has to have. Faith has to have a conviction that the Word of God is true and everything else is a lie. The Bible says, let every man be a liar and let God be true, because God cannot lie. This is the kind of conviction that's going to move heaven. When you get it so embedded into your life, no matter what it looks like in the natural, and no matter, you're looking beyond the natural and you're looking into God's Word and you're saying, it may not look this way now, but this is what the Word of God says, and it's going to change because the Word of God says it's that way. That's the kind of conviction I'm talking about. Faith involves assurance and conviction. When your faith is solid, it stands, listen to this carefully, and this is a word for somebody tonight. It stands under every situation and circumstance, and it will not budge. It says that will change, but I will not change because I've got a solid foundation to stand on. This is the kind of faith that's going to get God's attention. It's being convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God will get involved in your situation. And listen to this, faith always also relates to something yet future, because it says faith is a substance of things hoped for. That word hope points to the future. We see tomorrow in light of God's abilities, not ours. Are you with me? You may be in a pitiful situation tonight, but that can change. You could have woke up this morning a pauper and a rich relative die, and by the afternoon you were sitting on Easy Street. Are you listening? Things can change quickly. Joseph was in prison, and by afternoon, Joseph was second in command of a whole country. When you get God in the equation, things can move quickly. But you got to believe that. The walk of faith and the exercise in our faith is found in being spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Listen to Romans 8, 5 and 6. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me give you a layman term for that. For those who live according to the natural, and that's all they have, they live by limitations. Are you with me? You live by the own limitations that you set for yourself. So if you're always living by the natural and you're not spiritual, you're naturally minded, then you're not going to be spiritually minded. And the spiritual minded person sees beyond the natural and begins to see how God sees things. Before we were saved, our minds were trained to respond according to our carnality and our natural reasoning. Proverbs 3:5-7 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding." Now listen, God's not saying throw your mind out. He don't want you to check your brain out. That's not what he's saying. God gave us common sense. How many knows that? Amen. You said what I was thinking. You're reading my mind tonight, bro. Stop that. I can think those things, but I sure can't say them outside, out loud. Listen to me. God gave us common sense. But he said, lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all your ways. That means in everything that goes on in your life, acknowledge God and he will direct your paths. Everything. But what we do is we try to reason everything out and we take God out of the equation. And when we do, we limit ourselves to living by the flesh. And when we live by the flesh, you can only do so much in the flesh. How many knows if your bills are due and you only got $100 at the end of the week and there's $200 worth of bills due, you're limited by what you have. And you took God out of the equations. But listen to this. As Christians, we now are people of faith. So I didn't know it was, Pastor. Well, you do now. You're people of faith, which means God wants to move in the realm of faith rather than the realm of unbelief. Do you remember when Jesus come up on the, and he had the 5,000 to feed and the little boy with the little loaves and fishes? And here's what I'm talking about thinking about things in the natural versus in the spirit, limiting God. And Jesus didn't, by the way, but the disciples were trying to. All they seen was what they had. Two loaves, two fishes. From Captain D's. I like that better than Long John's. Two loaves, two fishes. And the disciples said, how are we going to feed all these people with two loaves and two fishes? But Jesus understood the principle that I'm trying to get across to us tonight. That we can live by the Spirit. We can believe for something better. We can exercise our faith. And we can see, get God involved. And see, when Jesus took the bread, took the fishes and the bread, the Bible says he broke them and he looked up to heaven and he blessed them. I mean, it was God. Jesus don't do things by accident. He didn't just thought, oh, look, there goes a bird flying by. No, he looked up to heaven because he says, I know heaven has resources because that's where I came from. And I understand this, that if I need something, God's done said that he'll meet all of my needs, not some of them, all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, this is where faith begins to exercise itself. But we got to get this. Our beliefs, these belief system has been firmly established in what we believe God wants for our lives. We got to begin to see what God really wants for our lives instead of limiting God. In the Old Testament, it said Israel limited God. How? By unbelief. Here's one for you. How do we remain a person of faith when everything around you speaks of unbelief and doubt? We live in a negative world for sure, full of uncertainties. And this doubt and unbelief and lack of certainty is exhibited and projected in the people that we often find ourselves in association with. And are we influencing them or are they influencing us? Did you know, will you remember when Jesus came to the, the little girl that was dead, and all the people were mourning and crying and going on and carrying on. And in the natural, that's okay. When somebody dies, we're supposed to grieve. Amen? And that's not wrong. But Jesus lived on a different plane than they did. And all of them, I want you to understand, Jesus said, everybody out. Why? Because he didn't want their negativity affecting him. When you're trying to believe God for something, there'll be a bunch of do-gooders that always try to tell you why that can't happen. And what I'm trying to get you to see is that if you're not careful, what other people say or do will limit what you can believe God for. But if you'll just stand on your own two feet, stand on the word of God, you can see the impossible happen like Jesus did. He called all the unbelievers out, and then he didn't let them influence him. He was salt, light. He influenced the situation instead of being influenced by it. Let me give you some faith exercises that you need to live by in order to accomplish something in your life. How many really wants to see change in their life? How many would like to see things in there? How many can just sit here for a moment and just picture in your mind things in your life that you would really like to see different? All of us can. Well, here's how they begin to get different. You, first of all, you got to begin every day with a faith picture of what you see God's doing. You know, this morning it was kind of unique. I got up, I'm going to work, and I always pray on the way to work, and I always listen to praise music. But on the way to work this morning, something just burst out of my spirit, and I said, and I don't say this every day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it, only to find out later what that really was all about. I was challenged all day long to rejoice. I remember walking around where I was at work at 3 o'clock thinking, there's no way I'm going to make it to church tonight. There is no way. But this morning I pictured myself having that good day. Are you with me? Now, anytime you're going to picture something for God, you're going to be challenged to go back and start thinking the old way. But I had to force myself, and I remember at about 3 o'clock today making a decision. I'm picturing myself rejoicing and getting everything accomplished at work I needed to accomplish in order to make it to service tonight. You have to picture yourself. You have to picture yourself with something that God says is yours. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Begin to get a faith picture of what you see God doing in your life. Whether it's your marriage, whether it's disciplining your children, whether it's your relationships, your finances, your health. Listen to me. If you're sick in your body, and I want you to hear this, you will never get better till you start to see yourself better. I'm talking about long-term sickness where the body doesn't have the ability to heal itself. I'm talking about something that needs an intervention that God can only do. If you never see yourself healthy, you will never reach that goal. You got to start to see yourself that way. And you have plenty of scripture to stand on to believe for. So the first thing you need to do is you need to get a faith picture. You need to see what you're doing. Did you know God gave Joseph a faith picture of what Joseph would be later on? Did you know God gave Abraham a faith picture of who he would be, the father of many nations, and that he would have a child before he ever had it? And he began to dwell on that. He gave him something to help his faith grow. He says, as it is with the sand, so would be your descendants. And he said, as the stars are in heaven, so would be your descendants. So every time Abraham laid out at night and he looked up into the heavens, what did he see? He seen the promise of God. He's starting to get a picture to develop in him. Some people can't see themselves ever changing. They can't see what God's wanting to do in their lives. All they can see is what is happening right now. They can't see things beginning to change. And the second thing you need to do, you need to begin to confess to one another the things that you see God doing. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:13. But since we have the same spirit of faith, I want you to understand, if you're doing this, you have the same kind of faith that God had. It's not a different kind. But since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. I can gauge real quickly, and I do from time to time, And I don't do this in a negative way to run people down. Listen, I came the same road I'm teaching you tonight. I used to be very negative in my confession. I didn't have a confession of faith. I had a confession of doubt and unbelief and fear. And then I begin to get a hold of the word of God. It says, I have the same spirit of faith. I believed according to it is what? Written. Whatever God says, if I begin to believe it, then it says, if I'll speak, I have the same kind of faith or same spirit of faith. And it says, therefore, I believe and I speak. I can gauge real quickly where a person is in their faith walk by listening to what they say. Listen to Philemon 1 and 6. It says, that the sharing of your faith may become effective. Say effective. By acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Jesus Christ. Then Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you. You can't say the word of God's not near you. It's even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What do you desire to see God do in your life on a daily basis? You must begin to confess what you want God to bring to pass in your life. Listen to me. You are the prophet of your destiny. Your words will either release you into God's destiny for you, or they'll keep you captive. Listen to what this scripture says. He told Peter, he said, Peter, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. How did he do it? Well, we know Peter couldn't go to heaven and unlock something. Hello? He said, whatever you allow on earth with your tongue, I will allow in the earth. You have dominion through words. What separates us from every animal alive is words. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:21 that the power of life and death are in the tongue. In other words, what we say. We need to begin to make faith declarations. Oh, it might scare you at first. When you first start saying, by his stripes I'm healed, you might feel funny about it. Because your body says, everything in you says, according to the natural. Remember, those that live according to the natural don't reap spirit and life and peace. You might feel awkward at first saying, himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses and by his stripes I'm healed. You might feel awkward at first when you look at your bank account and you say, bank account, I know what you say, but God says he'll meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You might feel funny about it at first. But you got to realize the word of God says you'll have the same spirit of faith. Listen to me. I told you the just shall live by faith. And how many times did Jesus says, according to your faith, be it unto you. The problem is, it is according to our faith. It is unto us according to our faith. The problem is we're living our faith in a negative way instead of a positive way. The problem is we're confessing all the negative things in life instead of God's positive word. I knew it'd get quiet. Always does when you start preaching, when you get bold. Listen to me. What do you desire to see God doing in your life on a daily basis? Do you expect to wake up and have a good day, or you just think, oh God, another day? We got a sister in here, and she has brought this to pass in her life. Does it mean she's perfect? No. Listen to me. It's not based upon our perfection. It's based upon God and Jesus' perfection. She says, I'm highly favored and blessed of the Lord all the time. Sometimes I get irritated when I hear her say that. I'm tired of hearing that. Stop saying that. You know what? But I see God working in her life in that way. You know, it might help if some of us would start saying that. And see if God doesn't open some opportunities for us and bless us and increase us. Amen? I'm highly favored and I'm blessed of the Lord. Well, you are according to the word. You know, he told Mary, the angel said, you're highly favored. Now listen, here's the third thing you need to do. Faith comes by looking for and finding biblical solutions. I said, according to as it is written. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Learn to go to God's Word. Study it for the help that you need. It has all the answers contained in it. There's not one problem that you're going to incur in this life that God doesn't have the solution for already. But you may not have ears to hear. Jesus said this in Revelations. Let him who has ears to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Who's the church? Who told you that? Now, don't believe me, brother. You better believe the Word of God. The Word of God, I did say it. The Word of God says you are the church. You are the body of Christ. And listen to me. You're the church. He says, have ears to hear. But you know, there's people in the church, listen to me carefully, that don't have ears to hear. Even though faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, they can read the Word and still not hear it. Jesus said this about hearing. He said, with what measure you meet, it's measured back unto you. Let me explain that. What emphasis you put on the hearing of the Word of God makes all the difference in the world. There are people that come to church, and some will, there'll be a congregation out here like there is tonight, and some will walk away from here tonight, and the Bible says the word is sown into the heart, and immediately the enemy comes and steals it. Why? Because you're not protecting the seed. And then nothing changes in your life. And then there'll be other people in the church, they'll get a hold of it, and they'll run with it, and change starts happening in life. And you know what happens? The people who don't won't apply their ears to hearing, and they get mad at the ones that do. That's messed up. Listen to me carefully. All God has given us all the measure of faith. None of us have any more or less than the others. It all depends upon how much emphasis you put on the Word of God. Amen. Did you know the preacher can be anointed to preach the word, but yet not have no faith operating in his life? Because he's not putting emphasis on it. And it applies to every member in the church. You have to put an emphasis on the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing. And you need to hear the word of God if you want faith to continually come. Learn to go to God's word. Study it for the help that you need. It has all the answers contained in it. The Bible is about people like you and me who went through the same kind of conflicts and difficulties that we go through. It is the word of God that establishes our belief and our convictions and our faith. And we need to learn to stand on the word of God. The fourth thing is, your faith picture's got to be put into action. James 2, 14 through 26 says, if anyone says he has faith but does not have works, his faith can't save him. Thus, also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. Do you see, brothers, that faith working together with works, and by works, faith works and is made complete or perfect? I heard a story of a guy. He was a tour guide, and he used to take people across the river, and he would roll the boat. And on one oar he had faith, and on the other oar he had works. And what he would do, he would row one way and row the other in the other way. That'd be kind of hard to do, wouldn't it? Huh? Stand up and do it. I didn't think so. He would row one way and one the other. Guess what happened? Faith works. This is what happens. Anybody that's a boater knows. Then he would take and he would roll the other way and the boat would go like this. And then the people would ask him and he'd give him an opening to explain the word of God to them. And he said, faith and works are twins. And they have to be, they're identical twins, and they have to row in the same direction if you're going to move forward. You can't say you believe something and then never act upon it and expect it to work. They are twins and they cannot be separated. He says, see, neither your faith nor your works can stand alone. They have to be with one another. You can't go around saying all the time, I'm sick as a dog. I think I've got H1N1Z1, whatever it is. And expect God's word to work for you. You got to stand on the word of God. You can't watch the news and say, oh, I bet I'll get that too. Whatever that was, I didn't catch the full name of it. Because you probably will. The weather's changing. I just know I'm going to be sick. You probably will. You're the prophet of your own destiny. You say, Pastor, that's silly to say something like it. Is it? Was Jesus ever sick? Did the Bible say he by his stripes were healed? Does it say that we should be blessed in all things, even as our soul prospers and our health should be blessed with it? Can we walk in divine health? If we'll learn to get faith with works, we can start to succeed in life. Every year at work, I hear this. Somebody will get it, and somebody will say, well, I bet all of us will have it before the week's out. You know what I say? And you need to say this too. Not me, because the blood is on my doorpost. Where's the doorpost in your life? Your heart. The blood covers me. And you know, everybody up there will be sick, and they'll all wonder why he never gets it. I'm the boy in the bubble. Yeah, some of you went over your head. You're like, what's that mean? That was a movie where a kid lived in a bubble. And he never got outside influences. Do you want serious changes in your everyday life? You have to apply the principles that are being taught in the Word of God. You have to lay them down and you begin to confess them. Then you got to begin to act upon them. And then God can begin to work. They all work together. The fifth thing you need to do, and I'm getting ready to wrap it up. You need to expect, come on up if you will, brother. You need to begin to expect changes to occur. After you have firmly established a faith picture of what you desire in your life. And God says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Years ago, when Don and I first got married, we started seeing where we wanted to be in life. Did you get there overnight? No. But I'm a lot closer today than I was 20 years ago. Huh? Or I could have just laid back like most people do and just say, well, whatever life deals to me, that's the way it's meant to be. God knows. Not when he tells you that he'll give you the desires of your heart. What do you desire? Begin to see yourself with that. Begin to see yourself having something different in life. Begin to see the future being different. Get a faith picture of what you desire doing for you. If you need help, begin to see yourself well again. What would you do if you were well? What would you do if you were blessed? It takes a heart of anticipation and expectation for faith to be fully released. Mark 11:24 says this, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Do you want to see changes in your life? Begin to expect them. Do you know when I believe it was the blind man that came to Jesus and he said, Lord, looked at him and it was kind of what we would say, that's a dumb question. It looked like Stevie Wonder. And I'm not making fun of Stevie Wonder, but I'm just showing you. Like Jesus couldn't see that. Jesus didn't have no vision problem. But he wanted to know what this guy wanted. He said, what do you want? He says, to receive my sight. But now we're going somewhere. You told me a desire. And then he said, you believe I'm able to do this? Do you believe that God is able to restore? Do you believe God can take people out of the jaws of Satan's grip and pull them out of hell and bring them back? Every one of us in here is a testimony to that fact. Do you believe God can tell somebody, rise and walk, and they can do it? Do you believe God can give you uncommon favor and you don't even know why, like Joseph, just you're singled out in a jail cell? He wasn't in the finest college of the community. And change a life forever. It'll never change until you decide you want something different. Begin to see yourself with it. Begin to expect it to happen. You know, in this church, When we first started, we put out so many chairs, and somebody asked me, I mean, we didn't have very few because we started with none. And a person come in and asked me, he said, why'd you put out so many chairs? I said, because I expect God to fill them. They looked at me like, well, you just plumb crazy. I am. I'm crazy on God's word, and I know it works. Stand to your feet, if you will. Amen. Come on up, hon. Before I let her give her testimony, go ahead and turn that tape off. You will come.